You look just like I did at your age.
Please don't say that, Dad.
I'm 16 years old. I'm not a child.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, young lady.
Love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
You're listening to Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast. Two friends since getting out of school for the Megathon fundraiser. Now Dad's reliving the Disney movies we grew up on with our own kids. I'm JB Wagner.
And I'm Eddie Ferguson. And on today's episode, we wish we had had Vin Diesel as our High School Musical director as we review The Pacifier. But first, JB, how are you and the kids doing?
Doing good. Doing good. We sat down today, and we're going to talk about it in a second, but made the mistake of watching the Apple keynote with my son, specifically about the brand new device that is actually going to come up later in the podcast, the brand new AR augmented reality device, the Apple Vision Pro, that we are all so like oogling and ogling all over the place. So we were sitting there texting back and forth as it was going on, which we love
non-stop.
To do. Nonstop. We love doing this. Huge nerds. That's what a guy walked in. He was just like, what's up, nerds? And just sat down and we watched it together. But anyways, specifically about the Apple Vision Pro headset, VR goggles, whatever, AR goggles, I came home. I was like, baby, you got to watch this. You got to watch all of like this whole thing. We're going to get talking about the Disney component of this later because it applies. But then, so my son's watching it too. And he literally a minute into it is like, I want that. We need that. We need to go buy that. Can you get on your phone? We need this. We need to buy. And he's like, his hands in his head. I tried to get a photo and I couldn't get it. He was just like, he's like, we need this. Can we get this? Can we get it with Mario and Sonic? Can we get it with Sonic? You can see Sonic. It was over. And I'm already like, we're going to be out $3,500. Because we're going to have to, because he's going to tell us every day how much he needs these Apple
goggles.
Dude,
I'm sorry, but you're going to be out $7,000 because you're going to have to buy two.
That's the thing. I wonder how it's going to work. How it's all going to work with like two devices. Can they both see the same?
Well, here's my thought. They out of the gate call it Apple Vision Pro, which all other devices, when there's a Pro, there's another model that's
normal,
a little bit lower.
Cheaper.
So I think we're going to see a cheaper model in 2 or 3 years.
Well, they didn't give us a release date on this either.
Early 2024.
Okay. So we got like a year till it's real. But that was just, I just thought it was just adorable and also frustrating. And also like, this is my future. I'm going to have to buy these goggles that are the same price as a brand new, fully loaded MacBook Pro, seeing as I just bought one 2 months ago. So great. Awesome.
But you're indoctrinating him as your dad indoctrinated us into the cult of Apple.
The lineage, pass it on.
You are passing on that lineage.
That's great. But enough about me, Eddie. We are into our final year of this trek through our childhood, all the Disney movies, the major Disney movies.
Did you ever think we would make it?
This is the longest probably anything I've done other than my current job that I've continually done week after week with a few little blips here and there, kind of like what we had last week. But the fact that we've gotten this far is incredible. Like, I'm proud of us.
I am too. I feel like, yeah, we need to throw some type of big party at the end of this.
Very end of this. What would we have at this party? What would we do for this party? Like Lunchables or Dunkaroos or watch anything we want to that's not from this age anymore.
That is brilliant. I hadn't thought about that. Yes. Yes to Lunchables. Yes to Dunkaroos. And then I think we break into Apple Park, buy some Apple Vision Pro and watch one of these or whatever we decide is our favorite movie. We watch it.
Apple Vision Pro. I love this.
Apple Vision Pro.
We need to, let's get it ready. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ready for it. But 2005,
It's a big year for us.
Graduation year.
We graduated high school. We started college. We sat in my parents' driveway. With your iMac.
My brand new iMac. Eddie, this is full circle. We're open at talking about it. We got this in the in the year that happened. So Eddie,
well, what's crazy about that is you got to remember the reason why we sat and did that in the middle of the driveway is because Wi-Fi was a new thing in 2005.
Desktop, for desktop computers.
But even, I mean, in general, like Wi-Fi was not,
not ubiquitous, prolific. Yeah.
And so we're like,
we did it because we could.
We did it because we could. Because you were like, this thing comes loaded with like Wi-Fi. And I'm like, let's set it up in the middle of the driveway. No, man, that's crazy.
We're not being facetious. We literally.
We literally got a Rubbermaid tote, drug it to the middle of the driveway, and a couple of lawn chairs and extension cord.
For this iMac,
And I don't even know what we like. I'm sure we watched something.
Probably the Apple keynote from the
It had to have been that. But do you think about like YouTube? I didn't know about YouTube until a few months later.
We probably watched a movie on it, like a side loading DVD player. Uh-huh. Yep. I'm guessing that's probably
$10. It was Lord of the Rings.
I would take that bet. I wouldn't take that bet because I know you'd win that. You'd win that bet.
Yeah.
But anyways. 2005, big year. Ed, you want to kick us off on the political sphere? What was happening? What's the movers and shakers doing at this time?
Yes. Well, we are, George Bush starts his second term as president. Crazy to believe. Then Prince Charles, now King Charles, married divorcee. He was also divorced at the time, Camilla. That was kind of quite scandalous coming out of the United Kingdom.
It's crazy to think now, this many years later, they are now the rulers of all of England now, of all the people.
Rulers, air quotes.
He is no longer Prince Charles. He's King Charles.
He's King Charles Queen the Camilla. Third, and she's Queen Camilla. The same thing. We also had the London bombings, which was a really, I remember those because we were just, 4 years removed from 9/11. And so it was like, you thought we were kind of getting out of that. And then all of that started happening. Bombings, yeah. And it just kind of brought up all of that age of terrorism and, you know, the shoe bomber and all of these other things were still going on around those time. That was a pretty big deal. Also 2005, I love that you included this, and of course you would because of all the president's men. We found out who Deep Throat was. Deep Throat, of course, was the whistleblower for the Watergate scandal, and it was
follow the money, Eddie.
Deputy director of the FBI. He eventually became deputy director of the FBI. Mark Felt revealed himself as Deep Throat. And it was like a really big deal. It was like big expose, Deep Throat finally known. And that was 30 plus years later I think he held it for like 30, 33 years.
Follow the money, Eddie. Mm-hmm. Follow the money.
Always follow the money.
In sports, here's the champions we saw that year. We had the Spurs winning the NBA championship. Patriots, boo, won another of the championship during that 3 and 4 years time span. Then
not the next year.
No, they did not.
Who got it the next year?
I don't know that we were the very next year. I think we were 2007 was when we had it.
I thought we were 2006.
Well, it's like the 2006 games that led into the 2007, like, playoff went, like that was the physical year that we won it. So, because it was our sophomore year.
Okay.
So, sorry, Eddie.
You would know better than me.
This just means that we need to take this into the later 2000s so that we can finally get to the Colts Super Bowl. But then, yes. Hey, Chicago, White Sox win the World Series. Do you remember being there as they won the World Series? Do you have any anecdotes?
I do.
Soliloquies?
Because I had only been in Chicago just a few months when that went down. And it was like everywhere and crazy. And after that, like everyone was a White Sox fan. It was just kind of typically the way Chicago divides. South side is White Sox fans, North side is Cubs fans. And where I was just on the North side. But everybody became, and like the downtown, all those celebrations. I didn't go to any of the things because, you know, I hate baseball. I think it's the most boring thing man has ever created. But the celebrations were cool. And I remember seeing all the festivities around it. I'm like, okay, but why? Why are we celebrating this?
Who are they again?
It's a hunk of metal with a whole bunch of flags. That doesn't make any sense.
We'll take it into entertainment.
So I do remember that. Number one movie. I remember this. Yes. We all went to the Goodrich Theater in Lebanon to watch this all together as a class. And that would be Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Shout out to Chris Litcher, who was running
he
wouldn't get us in early, and he wouldn't get us in for free because that was
never break the rules.
Broke the rules, but phenomenal friend, and made sure that we had the tickets we needed, and we were there waiting in hand. I don't know why we drove all the way to Lebanon for it, but we did.
Because if nothing else, Lebanon is better than Avon. Let's be honest.
Touche.
Did we tailgate before that?
I don't know that we tailgated before that. That would have been tailgating before our senior year of high school to the year previous.
Right. Oh, we all remember that tailgate party. And then Million Dollar Baby wins Best Picture. And I have to confess, I've never seen Million Dollar Baby.
I think Million Dollar Baby is one of those movies they talk about when they say the Academy doesn't know anything. And so they gave that movie the Best Picture. It's not a universal beloved film.
No. And I think I've like tried to watch it a couple times and it's just like, I can't do this. Mariah Carey had the number one song in We Belong Together. And our beloved Carrie Underwood wins American Idol. Did you vote for her in American Idol that year?
I wasn't watching it super closely this year. It was loose.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I was more, my big year, of course, was the Ruben Studdard year, which I was sad that he, whose name I cannot remember, who then tried to become a congressman, didn't win.
Clay Aiken.
I thought he was a better singer. He was also creepy. So that was my one year to really follow American Idol really closely. I forget which year was Daughtry. Was that same year? Was he like or was he Carrie Underwood third place?
He was Carrie Underwood. I'm pretty sure he was Carrie Underwood's year and he got like third or fourth place or something like that.
She's by far the biggest star to come out of American Idol. I would say she's higher than our favorite.
Watch yourself
behind these hazel eyes.
I think from like a Grammy standpoint,
music sales, yes, but she's gone on to entertainment now, not Carrie Underwood, but
no, I think from like Grammys and all of that, like Carrie Underwood has won more, but I think from like overall sales and everything like that, I think Kelly's got her beat. I'm gonna look at this up. Not that's right great. Now.
That's a good, I mean, you could, because we're about to go into the random section of the podcast. So you have a little bit of time here. Because first off, we got to be a real big downer. Talk about Hurricane Katrina. This is when we are also around the same time as the White Sox winning the World Series. Right around there is when Hurricane Katrina comes through, knocks out most of New Orleans. Really horrible situation. But then I don't know if you ever went down to do any hurricane relief. Everyone was kind of doing hurricane relief at the time.
I was there. I was there a month after the storm.
Wow. I was there a year and a little bit after it. And it was still crazy, like knocked out, flattened. Everything was a mess. So I can only imagine being down there right afterwards. That was probably one of the biggest natural disasters I remember. Mm-hmm. I know there was hurricanes down in Florida, but this was like a big, huge deal. And I was just more in tune with the news and stuff.
Yeah. And there was just so much devastation, and the response was so heavily critiqued.
Yep.
You know, it just, this was kind of the beginning of that era of just everything became so political so quickly.
The dome that everybody was sleeping out of.
Yes.
Oh, it was horrendous. So that was unfortunately also in 2005. Two tech startups, little springy tech startups you might have heard a little bit about, started this year. That was both YouTube and Reddit. Two massive players still for very different reasons. Reddit more of the dark web and very niche side, and then YouTube obviously for all of probably how you're watching this, potentially watching this video right now, maybe, who knows.
Do you remember being introduced to YouTube?
I remember being introduced because my university, when it was first started, not the university started, but when YouTube was started, did not allow you to watch YouTube on campus, and they then had to quickly, like, after some very stern people being like, what are you guys doing? This is ridiculous that you can't let students do this. They eventually relented and let all of us have it back very quickly afterwards. But
wow. Yeah. No, I remember being shown YouTube there in the first semester of freshman year, and it just being like, whoa, this changes. Like, you knew immediately this is a huge shift.
Can you imagine if we were born a couple years later and all the stuff we did making videos in high school had ended up on YouTube? That's where it was going. We barely missed this.
Dude, that's a crazy thought that I've never thought about. You are so right. Just one year off, and that would have been on YouTube.
The other thing I barely missed at the time was literally the day I graduated, like that month I graduated, Canon came out and said, oh, by the way, all of your digital SLRs can now shoot amazing video. Mm-hmm. And anything I made in college was pure crap. Just chuck it out the window. I don't know if I used any of that stuff on a resume ever again, because immediately all the cameras that freshmen coming in were using just destroyed anything that I had made previously. So I felt like YouTube, I was glad some of the stuff, especially Beowulf, didn't end up on our high school project that we made. That's given a little bit. It was our vanity
project. We got graded for it.
It's our vanity project before this vanity project.
It was the vanity project that birthed all vanity projects.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, so that's it for all the 2005 news. We feel like we should have a tag of here of to exit us out of this, but we've got a lot of Disney news to also cover for today, and we've already talked a little bit about it, but Eddie, tell us how this brand new stuff. Oh, are you gonna stop us? You got something else?
Yeah, no, I've got one that I don't believe you know, that I know at least one of our listeners will be quite excited to hear about.
Okay.
Just this past week, Disney greenlit Hocus Pocus 3.
Yes. Is that going to stay on Disney Plus, or is it coming to theaters? Did they say?
They did not say.
Because it did good for number two.
I would be shocked if it didn't go into theaters this time. Like, I think they really felt that one. They could have made a lot of money off of Hocus Pocus 2 in theaters. But yeah, it was released. I sent you a nice, lovely article that you ignored about the guy behind the studio executive who's like behind all the remakes and everything. Like, this is just what he's known for. And
there's
in
a dude like, that we can pin, like, not this one, because we like on, this. Is he the one in charge of all the live action remakes?
Yes. And it's Eddie. Like, they say his specialty, quote unquote, is retooling the problematic Disney films of the past.
Are these the ones that come with a warning warning label before you watch them? Is that what he's talking about?
The name of the article is "The Man Reimagining Disney Classics for Today's World." To which I think most are like, I don't think it needs it, but
I know some people that I need to send this article to and go, this is who you can blame right here. I've got the person.
His name is Sean Bailey.
He sounds like a guy that would just repurpose the past. Yeah.
But yes, in the very end of the article, he does go, oh, yes. And we just greenlit Hocus Pocus 3, like, or I can say Hocus Pocus 3 is like now in development. Saved it for the very, very end of it. But that was exciting news. The other exciting news, as we alluded to earlier, We were watching, as of today, the recording, as we record this, the Apple keynote from the Worldwide Developer Conference that has kicked off. And they launched their brand new product, Apple Vision Pro, which is this augmented reality, what they are calling the new era of spatial computing.
Ooh.
I got to admit, leading, like all the way through, I'm kind of going, okay, this is cool. This is cool. Wow. Okay, that's interesting. But the moment like my mind really got blown, you know, Tim invites Bob Iger to come on out. And it's like,
it's already you're gripping your chair a little bit tighter. This is,
you know, and Bob Iger comes out and he just gets into that comfortable pose. You know, he's in jeans and a,
it's not the correct power stance.
Arguably got to be, no, it's a little more comfortable. But he's wearing what I would imagine is the world's most comfortable cardigan sweater. Just the man knows how to rock a cardigan. And, you know, good product placement. He's got the Apple Watch just kind of barely poking out from the sweater. And you can see that it's a Mickey watch face. Like, come on. Like, the synergy is just off the charts here. And then he shares that Disney is going to be a part of, you know, the initial launch of Apple Vision Pro and gives us a taste of what they are dreaming about, right? That was the moment, like, I literally got goosebumps looking at all of that going like, oh, this makes sense now. Like, now I see what you can do with this technology. Like, before it's a lot of technical, okay, yeah, that's cool, yeah, that's interesting. But that was so smart of Apple to bring Disney in on that moment to share it that way. Cause that really just like, that was the fireworks at the very end to kind of go, this is incredible. And I can't wait to have this.
Well, them saying that Disney Plus will be there on launch day. That was a great win for them of just like, okay, we're going to get Disney Plus right up front. Mm-hmm. But then of course, my favorite is when they showed you can watch The Mandalorian while sitting in the cockpit.
Yes.
That was like, I'm sold. What? Take my money. Just take my money. I don't care. Just, I want that. I want that experience. The, when you've got the, all the world of seeing the, all the robots and stuff and everything just immersive around you and maybe even going in hyperspeed, hyperdrive while it's happening. It's just, that's what I want. I just want that experience.
And I also got to tell you, as a non-sports fan, right? The ESPN stuff was really incredible. Like, whoa, okay, now this is what makes ESPN viable going forward, right? Like, to create something of that caliber where you've got not just the live event, but all of these different, you know, stats and graphics along the sides. I don't know what the basketball thing was, of like almost like a
chessboard.
You know what I'm talking about? It was like, there's like the court, like a chessboard, and you're watching people. Them play it out like down there. And I'm like, what? No, this can't be real, you know? And I know like what we're going to eventually get is going to be very different than the sizzle reel, but still it's like this.
It was a giant what if.
Awesome.
What if it could do this? What if it could do this? Literally sometimes. What if? I got goosebumps just watching it. And so the moment I was like, this is going to be up near the top of our Disney news. We are going to discuss this.
Yeah. And I got to say the other favorite moment, and I texted you immediately as I saw it come across the screen, is that the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yes.
Going across your kitchen counter. That you would be able to like, I don't know, virtually or, you know, visit Disneyland, Disney World. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty amazing.
Maybe they'll bring one of the rides fully virtual and you can like sit there and do the Haunted Mansion virtually inside of it. That would be incredible.
It will be incredible. And I think that's what's awesome about this is the bet on virtual reality and the metaverse and everything never made sense to me. It's like, I just don't get this. But this augmented reality,
see your room, see the space you're in, still see other people, still be able to interact with people. That's the biggest gripe is like you're in your own world and no one else is there with you.
Yeah. So just the overall thinking through of the infrastructure of it, of the world or whatever you want to call it, it seems very intriguing to me.
Also intriguing is the last 2 weekends we've had two big Disney or Disney adjacent films come out into theaters with The Little Mermaid and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think I said that right. So Little Mermaid, that was, we've been saying that the remakes, as much as we bemoan them, they make money. And it did. It came out with 118, hit the theaters, made 118 million domestically in its opening weekend.
That, I think that's 118 globally.
Are you sure? I thought that was, you can look it up. You can fact check me, but it was the fifth highest Memorial Day opening. So it did really well for Memorial Day hitting theaters. It seemed like they were pretty content with that number. And then the next weekend, we got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the second installment of the Sony Pictures animation. Well, do you have an update?
You are correct. I am wrong. That is 117 million at the US box office. I can't find the international. All I can see is it didn't do well internationally, and I'm not finding the number.
Yeah, it was probably like somewhere around 40 million, I believe, for that. But Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, that opened to 120 million, so outpacing it just a little bit, and seems like it's doing really I think it's actually reached over 200 million counting international and counting where we are now. And I don't, Eddie, I'm assuming you did not go see either one of these quite yet, right?
I have not. Did you?
I did not see Little Mermaid, even though my daughter has been clamoring to go see it, but she's just too young. I just know, I already can see what's going to happen. We have a very strict 5-year-old policy in our home that I set into place. And my wife was very on the edge, like feeling very sad that I wasn't taking her, not even her taking her, but like me taking her to go see Little Mermaid, because she wanted to go see it, but I knew it was going to happen. We're going to get there. You get 5 minutes in, she was going to lose interest, then eventually need to go to the restroom 3 or 4 different times, and we're still potty training, still trying to do that whole thing.
Yeah, so are we.
It just was not going to be a good experience, and I didn't want that. I'm just like, I had to say no. I had to put my foot down, Eddie.
Don't blame you.
Put my foot down.
I stand with you.
But if you've seen the first one, I'm assuming you've seen the first one for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
I have not.
Oh my, Eddie, right? I will give you my Vudu, Amazon Prime, whatever. You wouldn't do the Amazon Prime one. I'm telling you, you got to watch it. You've at least seen the trailers and stuff for it.
Yes.
I left this one because this one goes even farther, deeper, crazier, especially on the design. And I just left going, I don't know if I was at Pixar or Disney Animation, if I could be content making the stuff that we're making right now. Because what this movie and this movie series has been doing, as well as things like that, other Illumination films have been doing, even like the Puss in Boots film that came out this winter time, like there's just so much like creative and inventive animation happening. And what they're doing in these films is so good that it's different and new and fresh, and it's killing. It's making great. Like 120 million.
It's using the medium in a way that only that medium of animation can tell these types of stories. You know what
making
I mean?
Like it feels, it's just
so expressive and creative.
It's got so many connections to hand drawn. It's got so much connection to the books and the feelings and the textures. And I just kind of go, I don't know what, if I was working at Pixar or Disney Animation, I'd go, these guys have stolen our playbook, but they've reinvented it and they're killing us at this game that we used to dominate year after year.
Right ahead.
And then you have news coming out where Pixar's laying off more people, just like all inside of Disney, including Galen Sussman, who saved Toy Story 2, that epic story of they deleted 90% of the film. And then she had taken that a lot of it home to work on at home while she was with her daughter. Angus McLean, who was the director of Lightyear and was a co-director on some other films. Like they're real, like, it's really dark times at Pixar and at Disney Animation right now. And like, looking at the success of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, someone I hopefully is doing, having a come to Jesus moment, going, we're getting it handed to us at the box office right now.
We gotta do something different
creatively and money. It's incredible. And now I really want you to watch it. Now I'm like, I want to get you a login to Vudu or something like that so you can check it out, because it's so good.
From all that I've been reading and seeing, like, Little Mermaid was expected to do 120. It did 118, which is pretty much, you know, more or less the same thing in predictions. But what they're saying is that it's going to trail off hard and fast. Like, there's no chance Little Mermaid's going to do what the other big live actions did, you know, okay, go hit $1 billion. But Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is going to probably be one of the first to cross $1 billion. And if nothing else, like, anecdotally here, which is a small market, but I think represents well, like, the international market, we saw posters everywhere for the Little Mermaid, and they were down immediately after that weekend. And you didn't hear of anybody going to go see it.
No. Yeah.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I mean, it's all we heard this weekend. I'm like, oh, we're going, you know, and you just heard of all these people going to go see it. It's like, and you know, here you don't go to the movies every month. You know, you go to the movies once or twice a year. So for them to pick this movie to go, you know, see it, it's like, okay, this has got draw. This has got, you know, something that's going to draw in, you know, large amounts of money for the long haul.
And we got a Pixar film coming really soon in the next couple of weekends in Elemental. So the fact that they made a choice to go see this,
yeah,
a lot of people went to go see this instead of Elemental in the coming weeks. Maybe it'll have a good return, but the early signs are not very solid. So I'm interested to see how it's going to do here in a couple of weeks.
Which is so sad. I want Elemental to do well. Like, I'm not rooting against. I'm rooting against Little Mermaid because I'm tired of live action remakes, and the only way they're going to stop doing them is they stop making money on them, right? But like, Elemental, I want to do well. I want to, especially Pixar, I want to see them back at their prime, because at their prime they are like none other.
They're unstoppable, but right now they're getting stopped at every corner.
One last piece of news. This was a big thing that went around last week, at the end of last week. We had talked about it here. Disney Plus taking a lot of content off, even recently produced content. And it was reported that they had to take a $1.5 billion, yes, that's billion with a B, hit for removing that content. Whether that was in some type of, like, termination fee or licensing things, where they got to pay off the contract in order to get that removed, which is crazy, because it's like, if you're willing to take a $1.5 billion hit, then what is the number on the other side of that, that you're saying we're going to save this amount so it's okay to take a billion and a half hit?
So, Eddie, there was a lot of, this just blows my mind. So there's a lot of legal words in this article, Variety, Hollywood Reporter article. So I had to do some digging to, like, make sure I understood what they were actually talking about, because $1.5 billion, that's a lot. So they took a $1.5 billion write-down, which according to Google's dictionary, little pop-up thing that pops up, it is a reduction in the estimated or nominal value of an asset. So I don't believe that they're actually losing real dollars from that, like, are paying somebody the money. They're saying our product is now worth less money because we are removing content off of it. So there's almost like a valuation less of $1.5 billion.
Right. Like, they didn't actually, like, hand over, yeah, $1.5 billion to different people or whatever. But I mean, that does factor into a lot of different things of, like, depreciation. Like, you assume when something costs you a lot of money, you can, but I'm going to use it for a long period of time. I can, as a business, depreciate that over a longer period of time so that the monthly, quote unquote, cost on my books is not as substantial. Disney's having to take a lot of huge hits
up front,
on this front right now. Up front, because, well, that stuff's supposed to have some legs. The biggest one is the Star Wars hotel. Like, the that was supposed to be open for 30 plus years and depreciate over that time. And boom, they closed in 18 months. Like, that's money to swallow. But this $1.5 billion, I think what we're seeing is Disney Plus is no longer the foot flagship forward strategy. Yeah, we're, because for the past, what, 4 or 5 years, it's all been streaming, Disney Plus. This is going to be, this is the business model. I think we're going to see them really power that back.
And it's also what really hurt them with, especially things like Pixar, because they taught everybody, hey, for 2 or 2.5 years, you don't have to go to the movie theaters to see our content. You can just go to Disney Plus. And that's part of this equation of devaluing themselves in other ways.
It shot them in the foot, but it also kept them afloat during the pandemic. If they hadn't had Disney Plus, they would have had almost zero revenue.
Would they have really, though? Let's be honest. It's Disney. They would have figured out something.
They would have figured out something, but you got to think that was horrible timing for them because they had just completed the Fox deal and had so much debt, had to take on extra debt.
But why did they do the Fox deal? For Disney Plus.
For sure.
So maybe they would have been in better straits because they didn't they didn't have the Fox deal hanging over them.
There's a lot of business analysts who are like, they've got to be regretting this Fox deal by now. Like, that was just awful. But we are not business analysts. We are just mere
This is not dads. Business advice for you. And this is not investing tips. Weird. Please do not hold us liable. But that's it. That's it for all the Disney news for this week. And all of our throwback to 2005, but that's not why you're here today. You are here for a grand review of a all-time classic film that I'm sure you, Eddie, rewatch all the time at home. I know we do all the time here at the Wagner household, and that is we're reviewing the Vin Diesel-led classic, The Pacifier.
Cue the Disney sound effect.
Okay, Eddie, buckle up. This is a long one. This IMDb description, it's going to go down. I had to click the
more. Take a drink of water.
I had to click the more button to be. I didn't think this was real. I didn't think that. I thought that someone had made a mistake here, but ready? Okay, so this is the. You want to gather yourself? You okay?
Well, I almost did a spick take there. Your comment on I had to click the more button.
That's a problem. That's already, like, I should have stopped it. Maybe I'll just stop reading it where the more section just ends. I'll just, before that
point. Go for it. But anyways, dive in.
The IMDb description for The Pacifier is this. Having recovered from wounds received in a failed rescue operation, Navy SEAL Shane Wolf is handed a new assignment, protecting the 5 plumber kids from enemies of their recently deceased father, a government scientist whose top secret experiment remains in the kid's house. Wow, that was way too much information. We did not need the majority of it. That's like the entire plot and subplot and side twist. The only thing we're missing in here was the love interest. We probably should have had that in here as well, some Lauren Graham. But anyways, Eddie, was this your first time watching this film?
No, it was not my first time. I remember when this movie came out, and I want to say I've seen it at least one other time since then.
Wow.
Was this your first? You had never seen The Pacifier before?
I had never seen this movie before, just the previews. Like, I remembered moments just because of the previews, and that was it. I know it's hard to believe that I hadn't seen this as big of a Fast and Furious, Fast 10, Fast 9, Fast all the movies and Vin Diesel lover that I am. I had never seen this before.
Yeah, I remember when this came out on DVD. We rented it. It was like a family movie night or something. And like we all enjoyed it. It was not an instant classic by any stretch of the imagination, but for what it was, like I remember us being like, oh yeah, I really enjoy this. And I have to admit, even like in the rewatch, I mean, for what it is, I'm like, yeah, okay, this is an entertaining flick. Like, I don't imagine this will get turned on too many more times. But it's, you know, something that we enjoy.
So, Eddie, you are saying that you actually kind of liked this movie.
Yes. I think for what it is, and again, let me just kind of go back to something that I have said on this podcast multiple times. I am a big
fan. Let the record show.
Let the record show. I enjoy movies that are simple, that are what you might call like a single or a double. Like, don't overcomplicate this. Like, that's part of the thing that I feel like is lost today, is that everything has to be these huge blockbusters or they're not really a successful movie. I'm okay with the cheesy, Vin Diesel's not a good actor, little bit of a, you know, okay, this is an interesting scenario. This is pretty funny and all of this. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was, I thought it was what it was.
So I thought I was going to be the only one in this conversation. I thought I was going to have to convince you that it's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I was like, it's perfectly worded the way you put it. Like, it knows exactly what it needs to be. It doesn't try to do anything crazy, doesn't try to go above and beyond, but it makes an enjoyable story that I don't know that they make these kind of stories very often, where like you've got a father figure coming in to help like settle the ship a little bit, like keep the boat afloat and kind of help everybody. And he like literally helps in every single area of their family. Maybe a little too much. Maybe like taking over the school play was a little bit much, but it kind of knew what it was doing when through it out at all. And you know what? We didn't have to get too much of Vin Diesel. He just had to spit off like military style speeches ever so often. And he was great at that.
And I think that's what made it work, is you didn't ask him to do something he's incapable of doing.
Yep.
Like, he's totally believable as the stone-faced military guy. Okay, let's just work that angle as much as possible. I think the other thing this movie knows well, that its story, its plot line is paper thin, right? Like, this is not a... oh, I've never heard of this story before type of thing. What it does well, what it knows it is it's bit comedy. Like, it's just one bit after another. And it gives enough diversity of the bits, sometimes at Vin Diesel's expense, but not always, because that would get tired. I also got to love, I loved Brad Garrett in this movie.
Oh, goodness. Bernie, like, or Marnie or whatever his name. Yeah, Bernie.
Just so over the top. And there's something about him being just such a big, awkward man that makes all of those scenes work.
The wrestling, all the wrestling.
Yes, yes. And then even the way like Vin Diesel wrestles him and does like, and then you have the line, I call this the pacifier. You know, it's like, yes, there we go. Let's sneak the title in there for it. Yeah, and then you've got Lauren Graham with the love interest. I thought that was just like a perfect counterpart to him. They also didn't
do it over. It wasn't the main story. It was like kind of a nice little nod. They're both in military.
It's like a good C story plot line, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it was definitely okay, not even B. It was like, it was for sure a C storyline.
We get the kiss at the end, and that's all that you really needed that for, just to round out the good feels.
Some of the lines in this, I was going to wait for later on, but the best line in this entire thing is the whole conversation with the daughter, the younger daughter, when she's just looking at Vin Diesel going, why are your boobs so big? Do you have to wear a bra? Will my boobs get as big as yours one day? I'm just like dying. Cause he like, especially at that time, Vin Diesel was like the dude of all dudes in movies, in entertainment at that time. And the fact that they're using that as a
time. Yeah, this is pre-Rock. Like, Rock hasn't, The Rock hasn't busted into movies yet. At least not on a big scale.
The Rock. Yeah. And I think he plays off that a little bit later on too. But like, yeah, that whole interaction was just gold. I was just like, this is what I want from a superhero movie for a guy playing like a, this kind of a role, like play off some of your over the top nature and over the top, like masculinity. That's, I just love that.
I love all the just kind of like, gadgets and trying to bring military life into teenagers. Like, there's just such great little gags there along the way that just, it's just comical, right? Like, you just get like a series of good chuckles one after another that makes it all just kind of work.
The thing that I at first was like, what are they doing? Where I started to get questioning, like, what is happening? Like, what road are they taking this down? And this is a little too over the top. And then was the whole Nazi symbol and the blonde hair. And then they totally redeemed themselves by saying, oh, this is the Sound of Music.
And it was just like hysterical.
Oh, yes. Okay. I gotcha. They almost lost me at that point. But then when they turned it, it's like, he's not in like a weird like cult thing, or he's in the Sound of Music. I started laughing. I was like, that's great. That's awesome. Well,
and I think that's what's fun is that they gave each of the kids those little moments like that, like the son with the theater, the daughter learning how to drive, and like in the end that having to come to play, the younger daughter and the Girl Scout cookies, obviously, and then how they have to beat up the Boy Scouts, like all of those like little lines, and then even with the baby and the little song and dance routine, to be the thing that opens up the vault, like all of those little things, no one of them stands well on its own, but when you put them together, the patchwork. This wonderful quilt that we could call this movie. It really is charming. It's endearing. Like, even the crazy Russian nanny, I'm assuming she's Russian. I don't know. Like, that is, I don't know. It's just ridiculous enough, but believable enough that it works and it makes you.
She's pretty campy.
Campy. But just right at it.
But it even had like a heart near the end when, he's sitting there and he's talking about his own dad and he's like, you know what? My dad just liked being a soldier more than a dad. And I'm like, that just was like a hit you right in the chest, especially as a dad. Hearing him say, oh, that's so good. This movie is exactly what you think it's going to be, but somehow still like worms its way in there and just kind of gets into your heart just a little bit. It is not a masterpiece by any imagination. It is not nearly one of the best movies that we saw, but man, I would watch this before a lot of the films that we have watched in this series.
And my kids enjoyed watching it with me. Like, they held in there for the most part. And I think some of it, you had some of the kind of silly action sequences. Like, of course, the villains are from North Korea. Yep. Thank you. Like, we don't have any nuanced bad guy here.
Eddie, guess what?
Money, North Korea.
And guess what? North Korea pays better.
You know what's funny? I also, a couple of nights ago, Sarah had like a women's thing going on. And I was like, I'm just going to watch like a guy's movie. And so I pull open Netflix and it's like, there's actually not that many that I'm that intrigued with. So I watched, I think this was maybe my second time to watch this, Olympus Has Fallen. Yep,
I was about to say, from your guy.
No, he did the other one. He did White House Down. Roland Emmerich did that. And that was awful. That was terrible. Olympus Has Fallen is the Gerard Butler one, which is actually pretty decent.
They did, and in that line, they did like three of those.
Yeah, they did. They did
London Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen, London Has Fallen, and Angel Has Fallen, which is him. Yeah. All really good. It's a pretty solid little series there. But the same line, the North Koreans pay better, is in that movie with, I can't remember the guy's name now, the the agent who, you know, goes rogue over for the North Koreans.
I'm just going to kind of go through my list here and just kind of hit some highlights from here. By far, the worst moment for The Rock was his SEAL team speech that he gives up at the very front.
You mean Vin Diesel? The Rock's not in this?
Oh, sorry. Vin Diesel. Lieutenant Wolf. Whatever. He really enunciates every word of that. We are SEALs. And this is what... That was the lowest point of this entire thing. But then you get immediate Michael Bay level explosions on the boat and stuff like that right after it. His whole line, we're going to do this my way. No highway option. Like, I love that that's just like a thread throughout the entire thing. And it like kind of gets
little tagline
kind of gets in there. Oh, we got Brittany Snow from Pitch Perfect playing the older daughter. When he's saluting, everybody's like, ma'am, baby. The things he's doing, like trying to be on his game on the job, but also do like be with the family. So he's like doing one-armed push-ups while also being on the laptop. And I'm going, I just want to be able to do one, like normal push-ups. And he's doing all of this was just like, this is why I love Vin Diesel. Oh goodness. Yeah, Brad Garrett was incredible. But when they go to, well, one, there's a, did you see that there was a Jonas brother in the back of one of the scenes when he is like coming after the, you want the bowl, you get the horns, like when he's challenging him. There's a Jonas brother.
No, in the background I didn't of notice one of those this.
Scenes. Yeah, he's in there. I like went back a couple of times and saw him. Also in the back of the fighting scene, the wrestling scene, is somebody with the John 3:16.
Yes, I did see that.
Loved that. And we got to mention like the whole Fireflies battle royale when they're kicking the butts of the Boy Scouts was incredible. Was so good. Loved every second. And where he's like checking out at the cash register and he sees on the security cameras that they're attacking him and he doesn't go and like tell them no. He's just like takes them and then they move on to the next thing and they're like singing as they go home, like these the victory song. It was good. It was good. A couple other things. A nun dropping a habit for a guy in the military. Great line. The pink bike when he's riding the pink bike, chasing after him. That was mostly it. Like it was exactly what you would think. It had some heartfelt moments. Had some. Interesting thing. I'm not going to write home about it, but I didn't hate it. And saying I didn't hate it means that I really disliked it. It was just tolerable. This was more than tolerable, Eddie. This was like, I had somewhat fun watching this film.
Yeah, this is an enjoyable flick. It is what it is. Don't expect too much of it. But I think if you go in with those kind of tempered expectations, you will thoroughly enjoy it and laugh at it and kind of walk away going, wow, that was fun. I'm really glad we watched that.
So what are you going to give it? What are you going to rate this film?
I've thought long and hard about this, and I think I'm going to go straight down the middle of the road, and I'm going to give this a 2.5.
I think there's some films that I'm afraid to give it a 2.5 because I think there's some films that actually are higher quality that I was just disappointed in. To give it a 2.5, I'm going to give it a 2. Okay. It's above some of the ones we gave a 1.5. It's like this movie was awful, but at least what's his name was in this film, or at least they had this moment, or at least they had the music. I feel like it's above that level of films where it's like, I actually somewhat enjoyed this experience. So I'm going to give it a 2. I can't quite give it a 2.5.
I think it was the, I don't know, like the slapstick kung fu fighting sequences with the North Koreans that really tipped it for me.
Gave a little bit extra, like, yeah.
Him with them, the first time, and then at the end, and then you have the kind of what I would say is like Spy Kids level vault at the underneath the garage.
Oh, I'm that like, was massive. That was a like a leftover prop scene.
From Spy Kids.
Yeah, we're just gonna yeah. use this again. Why not? We already have.
Why not? That for me, I'm like, yes, take you've already taken my money. So, you know, here it is. I've already paid my annual subscription for Disney Plus, but nonetheless, here it is all over again. This was a fun flick to watch. Solid 2.5.
Okay. And with that, your life has been forever changed by another episode of Honey, We Made a Disney Podcast.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your other favorite podcast. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star review and share it with your best friend.
You can also check us out at honeywemade.com. We can see our full movie list as we continue to go through all the Disney movies from 1988 to 2005, including next week when we finally jump. Including next week as we continue going through. Wait a minute. Including next week when we review Ice Princess.
Thank you for listening. And remember, there is no highway option.